Last many weeks, we've been traveling the Romans road. We've been talking about how the book of Romans lifts up the righteousness of God and reveals the righteousness of God. We started off looking at the character of God and realizing that I am that I am, the Holy One. God is separate and different and pure. And although God desires a relationship with us, our character, unlike God's character, is fully fallen. All we need to do is look at the world around us, and we can see that. The best individual, the most pious individual, is still not worthy enough to have a relationship with God. And that righteousness that was revealed to us was also given a plan, a way in which we could once again walk with our God. And the righteousness of God being revealed in Jesus Christ, in God's plan of salvation, God's desire that sinful, fallen human beings would have their sins washed away, that they once again could be seen by their Father in heaven because of the completed work of Christ as being pure children. And we are adopted. And the book of Romans calls our Father in heaven Abba, Daddy. Last week, we talked about letting God be God and us being faithful, realizing that God has a sovereign plan and chooses whom he will. Book of Romans says, I'll have mercy on those whom I will have mercy, and I will not on those I will not. And we didn't like that. We don't like the idea that God has that much in charge, that sovereign. But we don't know God's plan, and so our job is to be faithful. But you know what? It seems to me that people who are faithful might not be very humble. People who are faithful can do all the right things, and our salvation is not built on what we do. It is built on faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is built on what the gift of Jesus Christ gave to us on the cross. But our faithfulness translates into the way we live. So we are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to confess him with our mouth, but now we are to be changed by God, and we are to live a certain way. Well, when we start living this certain way as Christians, sometimes we fall right back into that same trap that Old Testament Judaism fell into. It was never designed in the Old Testament that this grain sacrifice and this lamb sacrifice and this oil sacrifice, that these trips to the temple, that was the way of salvation. The Old Testament was to point to the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Christ. And then Christ came. And the New Testament is to point back to Christ, to point back to the Messiah, to point back to the one who died that we might live, the perfect Lamb of God. Well, the Old Testament church, and that's what I'm going to call it, because those Jewish individuals of the Old Testament, they were God's people. They were the church of the day. They took God's plan, and because of sinful humanity, they turned it into works righteousness. They turned it into an arrogance. We are better than the rest of the nations on the world because we are God's people. Well, Christians can do the exact same thing. Being faithful doesn't always translate into humility. And this morning we're going to read Paul's charge to the Gentiles to be humble. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to the book of Romans. And we're going to be starting at chapter 11, and we're just going to read verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2, just to give a jump start. And the reason why I jump a little bit is not because I am trying to take things out of context, is because I talk a lot and I'm trying to watch my time a little bit. There was some laughter there. I ask then, page 1204, for those who need a little help finding Romans chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his people? And again, the phrase, am it from Paul. By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Jump down to verse 5. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. And then the bulk of our passage this morning, starting at verse 11. So I ask, did they stumble, the Jewish people, in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fullness, full inclusion, mean? Now I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although wild olive shoots, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you remember, say, branches, you who support the root, but the root supports you, then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. There were broken off branches because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? There are times we, as believers in Jesus Christ, especially those of us who consider ourselves Gentiles, quite honestly, look down our nose at the Jewish people. And in a sense, it depends what we mean by looking down our nose. If you look down and say, well, that's wrong, okay, that not only has merit, but that's appropriate. Your belief system is flawed. It is wrong. It is no different than looking down your nose, in a sense, at a Hindu or a Muslim or somebody who does not consider Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. If what we mean by looking down our nose is acknowledging that they do not have salvation because they do not have a Savior, then that's okay. But we read last week that Paul's heart's desire was for the lost. His heart's desire was for the salvation of his people, the Jewish people. And Paul's heart's desire, by the work he did, by his calling by the Holy Spirit, what happened on the Damascus Road, was that he cared about the Gentiles. That he became the apostle to the Gentiles. That his vision that he saw when the sheet came down and was filled with unclean things was, you will be the one to go to the Gentile world and share the gospel message. So Paul may, in a sense, look down as humility in kindness, but he holds them close into his heart, and in humility, in kindness, in Christ-likeness, he was willing to die for them. We read that last week. He would give up his own salvation if the Jewish people would come to Christ. And he was willing to give up his own human life for the Gentiles, being stoned and imprisoned and shipwrecked and kicked out of cities. There was a humility there. Not a pride, not an arrogance. There was a heart's desire of humility for those that he came to share that good news with. Sometimes we as a church can get a little haughty, a little arrogant, a little prideful. We look at the world around us and we kind of say, well, we're not like them. But is that because we're so good, or is that because of the grace of God? And even when we do fall and we are like them, because it's a sad truth that there's almost as many divorces in Christian families as in non-Christian families. So watch out for that prideful arrogance. There's almost as many suicides in Christian families as there are in non-Christian families. Watch out for that pride and that arrogance. There's almost as many drug addictions and alcohol addictions and abuses, domestic violence in Christian families as non-Christian families. Watch out for that pride and that arrogance. Why does all this exist? Because we are still sinful, fallen human beings who don't have it all together. It was only Jesus Christ who was perfect. Are you on the road with Christ? Are you challenging your own thought life? Are you challenging your own actions, your attitudes, the way you treat others? Because if you're not, well, then that kindness that God is showing towards us, we're not even showing towards ourselves. And we certainly aren't showing that towards others. Is coming to church an act? For some it is. I pray for most it's not. Do we put on the nice clothes and the right language? Do you speak the same words at the workplace that you do at church? In the world, vocabulary that you use pretty much the same when you are out in the world as when you are in the four walls of this building. Because if you're different there than you are here, then there's some acting going on. Let's be honest with one another. Paul is crying out that the church not be a place of an act, but it be a place of reality, a place that we know who we are. Book of Romans tells us right from the very beginning who we are, sinful and fallen, but saved by grace. Not because I am so good, but I want so desperately to be on that road of sanctification. I want so desperately to be on that road of turning my life over day by day, moment by moment, thought by thought, attitude by attitude, to be purified by God. And when I fall, what a blessing it is to know that I have a Redeemer. But in humility, to acknowledge the truth that it's nothing of my doing. There was always a remnant in Israel that had it right. And in the church, there is certainly a remnant that has it right. And I pray it's more than just a little tear off piece of cloth, a little remnant. I pray that we have a tapestry, the Church of Jesus Christ, across this great world that is not acting, but is believing and living for Christ in such a way that honors our Father in heaven. Paul again talks about his heart's desire. one challenge, one acid test, putting in the crucible to burn away and figure out what's really there, is where is your heart's desire? Because if your heart's desire is only turned inward, and that just doesn't mean yourself or your family or our church family. If your heart's desire is just this little club, then that should be the first thing that raises the flag, rings the bells, the warning sign that something's wrong. Because that was not Christ. That was not the message that Paul was given to give to the church. By Paul's example, by the example of our Savior, be a blessing so that the world, Old Testament, which was the children of Israel, were to be a blessing so that the world may be blessed. In our humility, faithfulness is not just living more for Christ, but it's knowing that I am no better than the Hasidic Jews that live in Bloomingburg. If I have salvation, it's by the grace of God, and I have a job to do. Driving through Bloomingburg 3-4 nights ago, just about dark. Slow down at the stop sign, and all of a sudden the car door opens up. And a 13-14-year-old Hasidic boy hops in the passenger seat. He looks at me and he goes, I drive a minivan, so he thought. And I said, I'm probably not who you expected. And he kind of has big eyes, and I said, are you going to Chestnut Ridge? Yes, I can take you there. And I have one of my ties on. I like my Christian ties. And whether he knew what it was or not, his name is Shlemi, by the way. Very different culture, I'm sure, because I would have never chilled. I think my kids would be upset if I named one of them Shlemi. And as we start driving down the road, are you an inspector? I guess because I had a tie on. I said, no, no. A doctor? No, I work at Stewart's and I preach at a church. Oh. And that was about the end of the conversation. We got to Chestnut Ridge. And he went his way. I did not have a chance. And I did not sense from the Holy Spirit the door opened to say, you know Jesus loves you? But hopefully, perhaps that was the beginning of a message for this boy. That this Gentile, that this Gentile dog cared and loved him enough. I won't say who, but there was an individual who about 6 months ago was speaking to me and had the same experience. And screamed at the individual and said, get out of my car. Now the individual, to my knowledge, is not a Christian. And I would say that probably taught a lesson as well. I do not know how, other than prayer, quite honestly, to reach the Hasidic population. I don't, because I can't get in. Once in a while, I shop at their store. Once in a while, I move my car way, way over so that when the lady has her triple wide stroller, I am so far away, she knows I intentionally was caring about her, and I've now started to get waves once in a while. But I do not know how to share Christ. But I know this much. They are worth it. They are worth it. And how about that neighbor of yours who might not be Jewish? Maybe they're Italian. Or Frisian. Or Scottish. Or Ethiopian. They are worth it. They're not beneath us. What if they're Hindu or Muslim? What if they're Mormon or, heaven forbid, Jehovah's Witness? They are worth it. Because I do not know whom God has chosen and whom God has not. And his word says, I am to be faithful. But in that faithfulness, there also needs to be a humility. I don't stand here today and you don't have a faith in Christ because of all you've done and all I have done. It's because of all of Christ has done. And if that is our attitude, if that is our thought, then we put away this act. We put away the acting like a Christian and we become Christ-like. The early church was not called Christians. I've shared this before quite a while ago. The early church were called followers of the way or people of the book. It was the non-believers who started calling them Christians, which literally means little Christ, because they said, you guys act like that guy Jesus. Well, you know what? Call me then a little Christ. I want to be more of a little Christ. I want to live more like Christ. But think about what that means. It's not just being faithful. Jesus in the garden saying, not my will, but yours be done. It's not just being faithful. It is being humble enough. Humble enough knowing that, to realizing that equality with God is not something to be grasped. Humble enough knowing that the cross may be where you are heading as well. Humble enough to know that it is not because of what we do, it is because of what Christ did that we have the ability to touch lives. And here's Paul, whose heart's desire, willing to even give his own salvation, his own eternity, that those who do not know Christ would come to him. Talk about humility. So my challenge and my closing to the message is, what does your walk with Christ look like? Is it filled with fancy dinners and programs and church meetings? And beautiful music, great programs, and at the end of the day, we say how good we were? Or is it filled with a broken heart for starving children? Is it filled with a broken heart for a lost and dying world? Forgive us when we place ourselves too high. Amen. Father, please, please convict us when we become like the church of the Old Testament, full of rules and regulations and the work that we ought to do. Please, Lord, make us like the remnant of Israel, your people, ready to serve you and you alone. Lord, we pray this because in our sinfulness, Satan even knows how to twist our Christianity to be something that does not really honor you. Make us a people of the book. Make us a follower of the way. Help us be little Christs. Amen.